What's the only thing that's working? Like, clearly working. Our shorts. This is clearly, like, talk about product market fit. It's just every short gets millions of views. I look at your channel, and you put out
Freudian slip, dude. Hey, what's mine is yours, all right?
I get 80%, he gets 20%.
I think the one thing that's cool when we actually get the desire to surge. Oh, don't let the fog, dude.
I'll tell you why we got the desire. It's just like we hit the critical point where we will die. It's the fire under your ass. It's like there is no desire. Right. Maybe this is how Elon's so good at surging. It's just like we were comfortable. We didn't have to do anything. Now we will die. Welcome back to the Smart Nonsense Podcast, where we talk about smart nonsense, keeping it nice, short, sweet, and simple. Pop, happy Tuesday. It's the 10th.
Happy Tuesday, dude.
Also known as Death Day.
No, that was yesterday. That was Monday. Today's Tuesday Surge, dude.
The Surge Day. Yes, sir.
We're shaking things up.
All the way.
Shake and Bake company, podcast, content, everything's getting shooken or shaken. And okay, so here's the problem, right? I don't know where we last updated everybody, but the business roller coaster continues on and off. I don't know, Belk, you want to describe the
I'm just trying to make sure I don't have any other quick threads before we dig into the House of Cards. Let me just say before we dig into the House of Cards, Michael Lewis's new book on Sam Bankman-Fried, Going Infinite, about Sam Bankman-Fried and the FTX debacle. Cheeks, dude. Whole book was cheeks. Yeah, I read it. I love Michael Lewis. It was kind of a fun read, but it felt like, one, he wasn't really there during any of the stuff. So like 2/3 of the book was biography, and then Michael Lewis showed up like when everything had gone down. So kind of missed the important part.
When you're coming off Walter Isaacson and Elon.
Oh, hang on. I got one more point.
Oh.
The second point that I didn't like is it felt like Michael, and I think this is why he's getting a lot of heat, because he didn't really dig deep on anything and like didn't, I don't know. It was just very blasé, but blasé, laissez-faire. To each their own, dude. To be, to
nice.
Done.
I don't know.
It was just very like, hey. But my point was it felt like he rushed to get this out to try and still kind of get on the FTX news cycle, even though nobody cares about this anymore.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, wow. Really, none of this matters anymore.
Well, didn't he nail his old books, like the, was it like Flash Boys and God, if I know.
Yeah, but I think the new thing, Devils, Liar's Poker, Big Short. I think he wrote those long after the things went down and they were more evergreen.
Yeah, well, I think maybe it was Taleb's tweet, but he's like, finally people are like recognizing he's a charlatan. I don't know if it's Taleb. I might be totally messing
Yeah, what
that
does
up.
Charlatan mean?
It, like a phony. Like he doesn't belong in the finance world. It's like a fake finance guy or something. I don't really know though. I'm
a person falsely claiming to have a special knowledge or skill, a fraud. Yeah, I hear that all the time. Nassim Taleb uses that all the time. I don't know if he's a fraud because his storytelling is still very good. This was just like lacking something, substance. Anyway, dude, I had to get that off my chest because I did read it.
Well, that's awesome you're reading books.
Yeah.
Because, in theory, I could have read it too and we could have had more FOD, but apparently it's a bad book. So good thing we didn't read it. But if you do want a good book, Elon Musk, a couple episodes back about that. So give it a listen. You ready to talk business?
Business, Pop. Here's the problem. What's the problem? Here's the problem.
Check our logins. That's all you need.
What do you mean?
Just the bank.
Oh, well, that's not new, right? So, okay.
Well, it is. What do you mean it's not new? Did we not talk about it before? Yesterday?
How many times have we, like, almost gone bankrupt?
I know.
Yeah, we talked. You did this yesterday. It's a roller coaster. We either make a lot of money or we're on the precipice of bankruptcy.
Okay, well,
and you said like
somehow it went from 150 down to 120 last week, down to 100, and we're like, God damn it, what is this bullshit?
Thousands. Those numbers are in thousands of monthly recurring revenue. So it was just down and down and down, which if you're an agency owner, that caused us to be like, all right, there's some, well, two things are happening. One, we don't have any inbound sales because we weren't doing that. That's a separate problem. But then when we were digging in further, we're like, the whole thing doesn't feel like people like the product and rave about the product and like are telling other people about the product. So why? And that's when we start digging in, Pop.
Well, here's the thing. We've been talking about this surge that we've been wanting to do for a week or two now. And I've actually stopped using the word because I wanted, I literally this morning I thought I cannot use the word surge because last week we just, it turned into a joke. It was like, dude, this week we surge, tomorrow we surge, and we just never surged. And so really kind of like our philosophy is like, okay, we clearly don't want to surge. Like it doesn't feel like, usually when we want to do something, we actually do it. It's like, what's going on here? And I don't know. I was worried we're like, you know, you think you make it and then fucking you got to get back down and like scrap on the front line. And it's like, dude, I don't want to go back to the front line. I want to be a general. What the fuck is this? So that kind of feeling sucked. So yesterday, it was a dark podcast, but the darkest. but talking about like, okay, this clearly feels like work. So what is the way that just doesn't feel like work for us to sell? It's like, okay, well, we don't want to go out and make like, we could do like a YouTube ad, but then we have to like learn how YouTube ads work. And we're kind of like, people were telling us like, oh, you got to do like 3 to 5 minute videos. And we're like, what the fuck does that mean? We only do like 60 second things. So like, what's the only thing that's working? Like clearly working. It's like our shorts. The only thing that I haven't done in now probably 4 months, which is not good.
You got one delivered today. You can review it. It was pretty good. It was.
But I haven't shot one in months.
Yeah, what was it? Oh, it was Why is America Named America?
Oh, we shot that in like June, dude.
It's a good short. It's a good short. It needs a couple fixes, but hey, you get one short.
So that's really the only thing that's like, this is clearly like, talk about product market fit. It's just every short gets millions of views. I look at your channel, and you put out
Freudian slip, dude.
You put out like introducing like smart nonsense.
What's mine is yours. All right,
80-20, dude. 80-20. True fans know. So we got a billion views, and 4 million of these views were on smart nonsense launching this. So it's literally just like an ad for smart nonsense. And then another one is Clipped. It's like, hey, this is our animation company. And each of those have 4 million views, probably going on 5 by the time this drops, or more. It's like,
and dude, I didn't even notice. It's like, oops.
No idea. And so now the question is like, okay, we have almost 10 million views of people that are like really engaged in a minute long, basically an ad for a thing. Where's the sales? Granted, we got a shitload of like, 10,000 or so subscribers maybe from one of the shorts on our email.
On the email. And we got about 300 leads from the 4 million view Clipped short. Let's see what percentage that is. Not very high, but it's a lot of junk.
It's really small. It's decimal points.
Yeah. I'd like to know them.
A lot of junk, but like, dude, basically
point
what we realized
0.0075% is what that is.
Yeah, that's not good. And we'll convert, like, for context, or we'll, dude, I'm using the most generous will. We'll convert a short to a long form, and that'll be in like the maybe 1 to 5% range. I don't know. I haven't like updated the stats, but it's in like a full percentage point at least.
Oh, my short's pointing to long form?
Yeah.
Those are like 15 or 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You might have to check the stats, but it's high. It's really fucking high.
At least
high.
When it first comes out, I haven't checked. So maybe it's 10%. I don't know.
Regardless, crushing it with that. So it's like somewhere in this conversion process, it's not working. But like if we can just dial that, then that means the craziest flywheel ever. Because, oh, we like putting out shorts. That's like our favorite thing. If that short now instead of getting like 300 shitty leads gets say 1,000 really awesome leads, meaning one lead, say 1 out of 1,000 converts, that's like, that'll make us like 50 grand or something and get like on our current model. It's like, dude, just have one short turn into one conversion. That's a $50,000 video. And now we just pump as many of those videos as possible. But like for some reason, we just never like, I don't know, we never tried to optimize that conversion. And so what is the conversion? Because I think we're pretty good at like saying at the end of the video, like, oh, hey, if you want this, like click the thing here or go to this. But what happens when you click it is you go to clip.co, the homepage.
Yeah.
The homepage is, I don't know, like maybe a good homepage, but not ours. Good homepages. Good pages should sell. This page doesn't sell. It's like you get to the page and you're like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what clipped is. I don't know what's going on. Why am I here?
Henry, do any homepages sell?
I feel, I don't know. They're going to do a decent job.
Like when I have a problem, I search my problem or whatever I think the solution is for that problem. And I end up on a sales page. Which is like, this is actually exactly what it is. I feel like the homepage is just pretty.
The homepage is for like, I don't know, like when a friend recommends it or something, or maybe.
Yeah, it's warm or, but like, or a if very hot lead.
We're basically doing an ad, right? If we're doing a short, which is an ad, you want to point that ad to a thing that sells. And our thing wasn't selling. So now we're like, well, how do we sell? Okay, so now, starting from the ground up, it's like, what is the one thing that we've done that's like really, really just gotten attention? I mean, there's probably a lot of fucking things we've done, but like one of the things that we've done is this viral confirmation email for our Smart Nonsense newsletter. Like we put it out and literally dozens of people have been like, oh my God, dude, this thing I've just shared it with all my friends. Like this is the craziest confirmation thing ever. And it's just like this illustrated story that's basically a teaser for our Smart Nonsense newsletter that's all illustrated stories. And everyone loves that. And that's like a sales page that no one has ever done before. So my hypothesis yesterday was like, Henry, let's like still, if we can figure out how to get our shorts to a sales page that has these illustrations that like talks through the process of why you need an editor and like why you should come work with us. And it has maybe like an awesome VSL, like video sales letter, like a sick video at the top that's helping sell. Imagine 1% conversion now. Just like leads coming through. Like, dude, we'd be fucking billionaires.
Okay, but then we're like, well, what do we sell? What is this sales page?
Right, because you gotta figure out what you're selling.
And this is where those levels you were talking about last episode, where there are cracks in the foundation and we're on like level 2, 3, or 4, they're all coming crumbling down. Because when we're like, what do we sell? We ask why a bunch of, not why, but like what a bunch of times. And we get to the point where it's like, wait a minute.
Well,
what are we good at?
Yeah.
What do we sell? Okay, what works? Who does that work for? Why? You go all the way down, it's like, what are we best at?
Right.
And Pop, I took a look.
Ugh.
The answer is nothing. The answer is nada.
Ugh.
No,
our shorts is about the
shorts.
Only thing.
We're
basically anything
shorts.
We look at every single day.
Okay, so
will
that
be good.
That is the problem. It's not necessarily us and Clipped, it's the model, which is take one of our awesome editors and put them, client, take one of our awesome editors, work on whatever you want with them. Well, when you do that and there's no oversight, you just regress to crap. Like so much of our content is just regression to crap. Which hit home for me because I think a couple episodes ago we were talking about Paul Graham talking about why people at the top with bad taste are the reason we have really ugly houses in the US as well as really ugly cars. It's not good enough to have an architect with good taste or a car designer with good taste, or in our case, an animator or video editor with good taste. If the person pulling the strings and making the decisions has bad taste, they just squash all the goodness out of the thing.
Which it's like, even the people that we're working with are like running marketing agencies. It's like, you think, oh, they'd probably have good taste, right? No, dude. No, it doesn't matter. Like, give us all the marketers in the world, they all suck at video.
Right.
Like,
and okay, so then people are getting like 2 out of 10 videos. Nobody's asking who did their video work. Nobody's spreading the word. We're not, right? It's just like this chain of like suckiness.
Right. And then one thing I mentioned before was like our price point at $5,000 a month. It's like not quite, it's like just cheap enough where someone with a lot of money will be like, yeah, I'll buy that and just have you like repurpose clips for me. And it also doesn't help that our name is clipped. But it's like half of our clients just use us for like the shittiest clips you just need like a basic editor for. That's like you could find in the Philippines for $1,000 a month. And it's like, that's one of our top use cases. Is that bullshit? It's literally like having Leonardo da Vinci and you're like, hey, do you want to... Did he sculpt Michelangelo? I don't even know who did what. But like...
Sure. Wait, did he sculpt Michelangelo? Michelangelo is another artist.
I mean, David. David. Michelangelo is David. My bad, dude. Let me get another analogy going. It's like having Christopher Nolan. Yes. And, dude, you give him like... fuck, dude. My analogy's falling all apart. You give him like an Etch-a-Sketch, dude. How about an Etch-a-Sketch?
Oh, he would like crush make with an Etch-a-Sketch, dude. Dude.
My bad. Analogy I thought was going to
wait, what was the point? The analogy was so bad I didn't get the point.
I know. That's my fault. It's like Christopher Nolan. You don't even give him a fucking camera. I don't know.
What's the point? Get out of the analogy. I'll help you through the analogy, but what's the point?
We have the best talented animators.
Okay.
But like without like direction and applied in the wrong use case. It's like fucking Christopher Nolan, and you're like, well, I'm gonna make you a swim coach.
I'll give you an analogy. I'll give you an analogy. It's like Henry and Dylan. Wait, I want to say when we were animating repurposed podcast clips that made no sense. It's just the wrong thing. It's just repackaged.
We're not analogy guys. Yeah.
But my point is like before we figured out the packaging of our shorts, which literally happened overnight for all intents and purposes, we were doing just these ridiculous animated, we didn't know how to use our talent, right. Our team.
So we got to basically repackage the company.
Yeah.
Because it's packaged wrong right now. And one model, two models we've been playing around with for a while, because this one of like just give an animator that's $5,000 a month to somebody. It's just when they misapply them, it doesn't make sense to spend $5,000 and they tell nobody about it. And it's just like, it looks shitty on us when it's really not an us problem, or like it can be fixed. So two models. One model is like, hey, let's do sort of this design joy, this like unlimited, do the best thing that we can possibly do, which is an explainer video. Yeah. Unlimited explainers. Fucking dude, I can't speak sentences. You get unlimited explainers. And charge somewhere above like $5,000 a month, call it like $10,000 a month for the best in the world. You're basically a startup and you're like, hey, I have a launch video. I also have a bunch of little like these 5-second bumper videos. I just want to like throw them in the pipeline and make sure it's just going to come back amazing. I don't want to have to worry about like this person asking me 40 hours a week of work. Like just give me a subscription. I'll throw my shit in and it'll come out. So we're like, this is a really good model if we were to apply it, because one, we just have like one insane animator that can work with multiple clients, and then we can actually oversee them much more easily because it's like less overall moving parts and it's all coming through this like black box. It's like, hey, put your clips in put your videos into the black box of Clipped, and then you spit out something amazing. So that's one idea. Idea number two is like when we're hiring, how do I phrase this? Dude, one of the dangers we're shooting later in the day. One of the dangers is my brain just
fog.
It's a little foggy, dude.
Our network.
Basically,
the second one.
Yeah, I get that. But like, how are people using us right now? People are using us for half the time shitty podcast clips. And then just like way overpaying for shitty podcast clips. At least it's like, it probably costs the same if you wanted to find an American to do it. So it's like, what if we just like sold them the product they actually need and they just don't have right now, which is a basic video editor. It's like, hey, just take this. And I say basic, but I mean like a really good video editor. Doesn't apply to like this super animated explainer or like the content that we're doing on our shorts. Like that's animation. But like you just need like, let's cut clips, put 6 subtitles on it, some motion graphics, like moving pictures around. And the whole world wants that right now because they're all competing over these clips on social media. So it's like, let's just like sell them the pickaxes because that's what a lot of people need, especially like our shorts audience. If our shorts are like pumping to something, they'd probably have that in their budget. Sell them that, and then we focus our energy on like the really high-end thing. And that model would just be like, hey, pay us $5,000 and we're going to give you an amazing editor. And then they're all yours. You can pay them like $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month.
And we're going to go out and find that editor. So the $5,000 is a finder's fee.
Yeah. And why that's appealing to me, other than I think the market's huge for it, is because it's one of the few things that we've been super hands-on and systematized. It's this, the hiring process, I think we absolutely nail, at least for creative work compared to anyone else. Because we get like this month, we got 1,000 applications. Last month, we got 1,000 applications. Like we've just like had to figure out exactly how to hire well.
And I want to see that work. What's hard about jumping over to that model is it's not recurring.
Right.
So it could work and it could be a ton of cash, ton of profit, but it doesn't recur. Which is
right.
Like the one downside.
I think this is where I'm like, when you look at a company with a similar model, Support Shepherd, they're basically like this, but for admin work. So like not the creative stuff, which we specialize in. It's like, that's easy, dude. Brain fog. I just lost everything.
Support Shepherd. When you compare us to Support Shepherd.
Oh,
the Headhunter
Support
model.
Shepherd, like 50% of their business. So if they do 10 million a year in sales, 5 million of that comes just from repeat customers.
Like, how do you know that?
He said it on a podcast somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, this was at least like 6 months ago, but a huge, huge percentage of their customers are just, oh, I had an amazing experience. I'm going to buy again, or I'm going to also tell my friends, I'm sure. So it's like, hey, if it's such a good product, then everyone's going to sneeze on all their friends. And because like there are just 100 times as many people that are probably willing to spend $1,000 a month for an editor compared to $10,000 a month for an animator. It's like the total market is huge. And I think we just have like a lot of recurring business, even though there's no like technical Stripe subscription. And it's just Maybe. Like nice to sell a product that you know is sick.
That is true. It's all true. That's why I want to see it work. So we're just booting that up. I just mean like, okay, so let's say Support Shepherd does... At the limit, let's say Support Shepherd does $100 million in sales this year. I don't like that they need to go out next year and find them $100 million more, you know? It feels like you get repeat customers, so the base is growing, but it doesn't feel as compounding as a recurring revenue business. But hey, they're...
Well, two things.
Throwing off cash.
One, I agree, but also like... I don't know. Are you subscribed to like, I guess I was going to use like.
Watch the analogy.
I was going to say like Costco or Amazon, and I guess they have subscriptions. but like, I don't know.
What's
are
the
you
point?
Like,
we can work on an analogy together.
Fuck, dude. The fog doesn't help the analogies, dude.
No, you got to be on your game to hit an analogy on the
fog. I don't
fog.
Know. It's just, it's like something that's.
Oh no.
It's not recurring, but it's like so good that you're like, I'm just gonna keep buying it. I don't know. Fucking You make
goes from analogy to just straightforward.
Hold on. I had a different point that I really liked. Oh, well, I don't even know if this was the point, but what? Okay. Here's the point. This was it. One, it's like, yeah, like sure. Next year we'd have to like resell $100 million if we're going to do that in creative, people selling, but like, we don't need to worry about next year. All we need to do is make an absolute boatload of cash in the next 3 months, hire your brother, and then he can figure it the fuck out.
That's a great point. You got it, Pop. Conquered the brain fog.
Dude, I knew it was somewhere, dude.
So we don't got to worry about next year.
We don't.
Preach. Dude.
It's just like, make as much fucking money as literally, we can make
in the next 3 months. We were doing like 150,000 a month, which was great. And we had to get to like 160 to comfortably hire my brother. 200 would be like, we're on track and he can take this thing and go. Instead of getting to 160, we go to 105. How about that? Ugh. So now we can't hire him. He already can only devote like a couple hours a day to the, we went the wrong way, Pop.
The problem with our model is like, our model is very much, assuming this person stays with us for like over 6 months, like the payback period, if we take on a new client, we then say we have to hire somebody new, we pay a referral bonus, and then we have to pay their salary for that first month. And then like we end up basically not making money the first month, probably not the second month either. So like until month three, we're at break even. And then like at that point, it's like, okay, we'll make some cash. But then if they're churning because they're doing fucking shitty podcast clips, it's like, instead, what if we just sold that person, like a 5K editor, all profit pretty much, other than like a little referral bonus we'll pay. Now we net basically $5,000, and then who knows, they'll come back and buy another because it's so cheap and they want to put out more content, and they'll tell all their friends that are also making content because content creators tend to like group together. It's over at that point. And now we've made $20,000 in this model and we've fucking like lost money in the other model. And I'm like, that just sounds so much better to me. But it's like, okay, this is all theory, right? But I think the one thing that's cool when we actually get the desire to surge, which I want to come back to like this point on why we get the desire suddenly.
I'll tell you why we got the desire. I'll tell you why we got the desire. It's this thing with, I guess, like agents. It's just like, we hit the critical point where we will die. It's the fire under your ass. It's like, there is no desire. Right. Maybe this is how Elon's so good at surging. It's just like, we were comfortable. We didn't have to do anything. Now we will die. Right. So it's some sick version of Parkinson's law, but we must surge.
Right. Because it's like, I don't know. I don't know what the financials are, but it's literally like losing money every month on top of like loans that are big. And it's like, okay, this is not the fucking move, whatever's going on. So that's when we come back in. And it's one reason why listening to Andrew Wilkinson, when he's like, advice for putting in a CEO, make sure they never have more than 1 or 2 months max of cash in the bank. Because the second you get beyond that, you turn into us. And you're like, hey, fucking wiffly waffly, what are we going to do? And you're just hanging out. Versus you have a month, like you're month to month, and you're going to distribute all the profits outside of that. You're just scrapping all the time. It's like, let me figure out how to make sure I'm making enough money this month. And we just got kind of lazy. And that's why I'd say 80% of the content that Clip makes is shit.
It might be really bad. It might be 98%.
98%. Yeah, you've gone through it. Which is just absurd. And so that's why like our current model clearly isn't working. The Trello model is nice because one animator can like service multiple people. So now you take one animator who will make you like $3,000 a month in profit.
Trello meaning a customer has like a Trello board and they're just, this is a very common model, but DesignJoy does it. But they have a Trello board and they're just popping tasks or videos or projects into their Trello board and you just work on one at a time.
Right. It's like unlimited, but you get one at a time and you can like upgrade to get two at a time or something. But there, because most clients aren't going to have like video after video after video, because really the best videos, you just do like maybe one or two a month. It's only like the very low end when you're just trying to pump out quantity. So that just opens up a lot of freedom where one animator can work on like two, three, four clients. And now if they're all paying even more because it's a higher end product, it's like one animator can make you 20 grand a month in profit if you run it well. So both models
which you hear in tech companies a lot, which is like, I don't know, like average revenue per employee or something.
Average.
Is that what they call it? Revenue per employee?
Yeah.
But you want to get that number up.
Right.
Especially in an agency business where it's very one-to-one. It's client to editor. Or it's very project-based. Like for us, the average editor makes us like...
It's like 42...
No, it's like $4,200. Yeah. But in this model,
well,
maybe
that's a month. Wait, what do you mean?
A month. The no. average revenue.
How? What? We charge $5,000 and pay him $2,000. It's $3,000 a month. Oh, he's our finance guy.
Brain
we
fog.
Make $3,000 a month.
I'm not talking about revenue? Bottom line. Yeah. Yeah.
I think they talk about profit, though. Oh, they talk about revenue?
My point is, if you can... So in our case, say an editor makes us bottom line, $2,000 or $3,000, top line, $4,000 a month, working for one client. If through a Trello model, through this black box model, we can get them working for four clients, now they're making four times as much. One person. Yeah. We don't have to hire four people.
And what I like about this is... If we somehow manage, it's kind of hard to like, we're battling with how to sell two things at once. Cause it's like, if we have our shorts and we're pointing people to clip.co, what do we sell? Do we sell our headhunter? That's just a basic editor. That's sick. Or do we sell like the best of the best world-class animation, which most people landing on the page won't want. Or do you get them like on a phone call somehow and try and sell either depending on their budget. But it's like kind of tricky to write the sales copy for two things at once. But the cool thing is like right now we're kind of splitting the difference as in we're like trying to meet in the middle and it's just this like shitty thing that doesn't fit anywhere of like $5,000 a month doing God knows what versus you hyper specialize on the best of the best. And now we're really good at animated explainers. Thank you. Animated explainers. We're really, really fucking good at that. That's like all we do, all we focus on. We can oversee that very easily. And then we go to the other extreme, which is like the cheapest of the cheap. You get basic editors and just fucking rip. And it's just like hitting both sides of the spectrum and not trying to play this in between game, which I think is important.
Garnet!
No, dude.
Yeah.
What is this?
33 minutes.